This is the Kinky Cast, an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 115 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. We welcome guests with opposing viewpoints. Today, our guests are Johnny Thrash and Manic Monk from Toronto. Here's your hosts, Woody and the Beast.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another edition of the Kinky Cast. Sitting in the chair next to me is the Beast. Hey, man.
Hey.
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 That's what I got in my front yard. Hey.
Yeah, you will. My yard man called me. He wants his money. He wants to start cutting mine again.
That's Friday's project here.
Oh, well, I pay somebody to do the mundane stuff. More time for the kink and the women.
You see, an executive like yourself, you can afford to do that. I, on the other hand, keep Kinky Cast alive, and it takes all my money.
Oh, I understand. I understand that, but feeding and caring for a harem is expensive, too.
Oh, you poor baby. That is tough.
It is. Somebody's got to do it, but, I mean, these women have to be satisfied.
Who's that snickering in the background?
I don't know.
It sounds like it is. They're Canadians.
They're from that great north. It's not thawed out up there yet.
You know, they call them snowbacks, right?
Snowbacks?
Snowbacks,
yeah.
Yeah, that's one I hadn't heard.
Yeah. Let's see. In box number one over here is Johnny Thrash. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, Woody.
Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
And in box number two is his friend Manic Monk. How are you, man?
Hello. How are you guys?
Manic, where did the name come from?
Manic Monk. Okay. When I was in university, I used to, for some reason, go to house parties and hotel parties and start arguing religion. Like on Saturday night, while everybody was getting, like, you know, loaded and whatever, right before we were going to clubs, for some reason, I just felt the need to, like, figure out what everybody else's, like, religious affiliation was and, like, argue against the books and whatever and try to convince everyone to, like, you know, convert them to be an atheist. I was, like, the Jehovah Witness of atheism. And because I would always talk really fast, you know, Manic Monk.
Manic Monk. I got
it. And so that's what you do on a Saturday night at a party. Interesting.
That's what I do on Saturday night at a party.
Did you get laid much?
Actually, I did. In university, I did. Like, you could shred cheese on my abs, and I was like a wrestler.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, no, I did well in university.
They just overlooked all the religion stuff.
And my inability to shut up, yeah.
I think that's why Manic and I get along so well. And when we're talking together, we drown out everyone else around us.
First off, how did you meet? And was it at a kink event or in vanilla life?
Me and Johnny, me and Ramon.
I'm open about it. My real name is loud and proud on my FetLife profile.
He commented on one of my writings, and we started, like, writing back and forth about just, like, ideas when it came to kink. When he first messaged me, I still considered myself a dom. So we started arguing over, like, not arguing, just debating, like, you know, the DS relationships, protocols, rules, submission, that kind of stuff. So, and now that I'm not really into it, yeah, that went away.
So, Manic, how do you identify now, and how would you describe yourself?
Sadist.
Just pure sadist.
Pretty much, yeah.
Not a top, not a dominant, just a sadist.
Just inflictor of pain.
What's a top? Like, a top is somebody who gives, right? That's anybody's a top. If I hand you, you know, the cookie, I'm a top in that situation, right?
I don't know. My submissive does things for me and gives, but she's definitely a submissive.
Oh, yeah. Now that I think about it, if somebody licks my toes, I wouldn't really consider them the top in that situation.
Probably not.
Yeah, okay. Top is the most generic, is it not?
Top is the most generic, yes.
No, I think kinkster is the most generic possible identity.
Okay, well, okay. When it comes to D-type, I'm just saying top is the most generic. Yeah, that's my thing. I like causing pain, humiliation, degradation, that kind of stuff.
I saw somebody just the other day claiming that half the population was kinky.
Half the population was kinky, eh?
Half the population of the planet Earth?
Yep. Yeah,
how do you prove that?
How do you disprove it?
I think everybody's got something, but, like, most people don't really think about sex very often. It's kind of like they just either get it or they don't.
Let's see, what is it, every 6 seconds?
I doubt it.
Everyone has their own definition of kinky, right? Like, you could say that you're kinky because you like one thing that's a little bit different, and all of a sudden you think, oh my god, I'm so kinky, right? And then other people would say, like, are you kidding me? You're not kinky. You don't come close.
If you've ever slipped a blindfold on your girlfriend, you're kinky.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know? And so that runs the averages up.
I was tying girls up long before I considered myself kinky.
As I said, like, if you suck dick, then you're a submissive, right? And if you smacked an ass once, then you're a dominant. And if you suck a dick and you don't have any money, then you're a slave. And if you suck dick and you also like lollipops, then you're a baby girl. You know what I mean?
Our telephones are going to be lighting up with these new Dixonixons for top and bottom and baby girl.
No, I don't know. I'm not saying that like that's it, but I find a lot of people that they think that's what defines them. Because especially if you're just thinking fat life, a lot of people are on there just to get laid, right? So it really dilutes the kink.
Yeah, we were just talking about this. I would have to guesstimate, right, that let's say 75% of the people who use fat life are there just to try and hook up, right? I mean, that's, you find a website like, oh my god, this website is all about sex and kink and there's girls here, I'm going to sign up, right? Then you got probably 20% of the people who are there to look at free porn. And then you got 5% of the people that are there to interact with other kinksters and learn and be a part of the community.
If you take all of those people, are they kinky?
I'm going to let Manic field this one.
I don't know. I'm assuming a quarter of them. Look, if you look at the biggest photographers on Fat Life, are they liking, like, are people liking, or in KMP, are they liking kinky pictures? Do you know what I mean? If you look at the pictures, it's skinny white girl between the ages of 19 to 22, maybe sucking a dick, maybe not. Maybe she's just naked. Maybe she's just wet, right? Or it's like a butt plug that's bejeweled somehow. Right. Or it's depraved Eros holding somebody's throat, not like, you know, choking them, just kind of holding their throat and looking up and it's black and gray. Just that kind of stuff. Like, they're not kinky pictures. Right. So it's obvious that, like, you know, your audience, if you want to hit KNP, you know what I mean, isn't kinky, which means the vast majority of them probably aren't.
I remember a few episodes ago, Woody and the Beast, you guys coined the term vanilla kink.
And we're looking at each other. They all run together sometimes.
It's all right. It's all right, you guys. It's okay if you have Alzheimer's.
If you go back a couple of years, the stuff you described was very kinky. Bejeweled, yeah, no, butt plugs was a hot rage when they first hit the streets. If you had one of those and you self the metal detectors at your office, your upper mobility either took off or you found a new employment really quickly.
See, I was always wondering about that. Like, imagine somebody who's like a cuckold who's in chastity. Like, what happens if that guy has a heart attack, right? Or what happens if he goes to jail? Like, and they just, like, you know, either the EMS workers or, like, the people in the prison discover it. Like, oh, wow, this is my life. Or if he forgets to take it off or isn't allowed to take it off and goes through, you know, some sort of security detector, airport, whatever.
We talked to a kinky doctor a month or so ago, and nothing seemed to faze him.
No, he's seen it all.
Yeah, and we've talked to some kinky nurses, and nothing phases them either. They say you see that stuff all the time now.
What is the strangest thing you've ever been asked to do? Like, the kinkiest, you would say, like, to this day, it just sticks out in your head. Like, why would anyone want that?
I will plead the fifth because it was illegal in 215 of 216 countries.
I'm pretty sure that most of everything that we do is illegal somewhere, if not most places.
Well, it's illegal to allow battery to your person. So if that's the basic, just touching somebody, or, you know, touching somebody hard is going to be illegal.
Wasn't there recently in the States a ruling that you had no constitutional right to engage in any kinky BDSM behavior whatsoever? I remember reading about
it. Wasn't defined that way.
Okay.
No. A judge decided to go rambling after he made a ruling on a due process case, And he decided to, since it involved BDSM, go off the reservation and voice his opinion on how the Supreme Court had went wrong with the case of Lawrence versus Texas, which basically said kink was allowed. In essence, your sex is your sex, and it can't be legislated.
So no answer to that? Nobody had like a really, really strange thing they were asked to do? Well, for you, it was, you can't tell me. How about you, Woodsman?
Oh, gee. In my earlier days, I was very much into suspension and all kinds of very weird positions. And I had a submissive that was very into that, and we did some really weird things in dungeons.
And I had a submissive that once wanted to be fucked in the projects with her head in the dumpster.
Wow.
You trumped me on that one. Oh, I can't say Trump, can I?
Yes, you can. We're going to be saying a lot.
Yeah, you're all going to be going to want to be Canadian soon, huh?
Hey. Yeah, I got my papers filled out.
Yeah, I just don't know that I will bring anything to your lovely country. They may not want me.
Johnny says that Toronto is the kinkiest city in North America.
Oh, by far, by far.
I have seen some of the stuff on Fed, and I would tend to believe it.
Yeah, we kind of win. It's Toronto's amazing. We have dungeons. We have so many munches. We have so many kinky people here. We have, well, we got Fet Liberties, right? Like Manic Monk and Depraved Eros, but you know, who cares about that? But we have
Fet Liberties.
Sorry, Manic. I mean, I'm talking about myself.
Fet Liberties,
right?
Yeah.
Right, but there's a scene here that's so active and it's so every day. Last night I texted Manic. I said, hey, man, what are you up to? He's like, oh, I'm at this rope party. That's what he says every time I text him. Hey, what are you up to? He's like, oh, I'm at this rope party, or I'm at this this event, or I'm at the Monster, I'm at Subspace.
Well, the greatest thing about kink in Toronto is that it mixes with like the swinger crowd, and it also mixes with pretty much a lot of like the raver crowd. There's like a lot of raves that have like, you know, half the people there are on Fet Life, or there's like, if you go to swingers clubs, there's like the kinky, you know, the dungeon, whatever. And just in that room, you'll see people doing rope or whatever, right? Well, I lived in Vegas for a year and a half. I'd go to like places like the Green Room, and it was mostly just esks and like, you know, tourists and like, you know, some guy with his trophy wife that will only stay with him if she, you know, is allowed to fuck, you know, BBCs or something, right? They never mixed. The munches that I went to there, you know, they went, like, those people weren't at the swingers clubs and vice versa.
I would definitely say that Canada has a more sex positive culture than the States, having lived in both, you know, for a while now. Canada just has a more sex positive culture than America does.
That is most definitely probably true, because ours is definitely sex negative.
It is. It's a very sexually repressed culture. And it's, you know, the culture I grew up in. And I remember when I was a kid, when I was 15, 16, and I was really starting to first have these, you know, thoughts that I knew were very different, I didn't tell anybody. In fact, if you go on my Fet Life profile and you peruse through my writings, one of my most recent posts was about how I completely lost my two best friends who had been like brothers to me. I lost both of them by letting them know that I was a kinky person. They both just said, nope, I'm done. Can't handle it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Wow. Now, both of you are from what is commonly known as Next Generation, aren't you?
TNG, yeah.
TNG. And how's the community there in Canada shape out with TNG and the, for lack of another term, the old-timers? Is there a smooth mix, or do we see a bit of a division there?
The TNG people don't like DS. If you go to a munch, you'll see people who, you know, they consider themselves submissive or dominant, but the type of relationship they're in isn't. It's violent, vanilla relationship.
So it's more egalitarian?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Even like when I lived in the States, relationships weren't egalitarian. One was like, regardless of who it was, you know, either the guy was pussy whipped or, you know, the man was in charge or whatever, right? But for the most part, there was one in charge. But here, yeah, it is just pretty much more egalitarian. And we have more like kinksters and fetishists, and that just idea of like, I like to receive, but you're not going to tell me what to do. Or I like to give, but, you know, figure out your own schedule. Do you know what I mean?
Woody, since the last time you and I talked, I've actually developed a little bit of a beef with the TNG crowd, even though it's my generation, right? I wrote a post on FetLife called What Makes You a Dom? And I was pretty much saying, like, hey, you know, the role of dominant isn't so much a sexual identity. It's more like a job description in a lot of ways. When people join FetLife and they just decide, hey, I'm a dom because I like to do dominant type things, I really don't think that that's, you know, what it originally meant to, like, the people who started this whole thing, right? The old guard leather in the 70s. So what I got was a tremendous amount of fighting and argument from people who were my age saying, well, if you say you're a dom, then you're a dom. That's all it takes. If you identify as dominant, then you're a dominant. I completely disagree. I think that to be a dominant, you have to have some skills and knowledge that relate to being the dominant in a relationship, in a DS relationship.
It's interesting to hear that there's a divide there.
Yeah, I was a little shocked, actually. I when I wrote that, I got several people writing angry posts and angry letters to me saying, how dare you say such a thing?
Well, this is the question. Like, what makes somebody a breakdancer, right? You'd say, well, you should know a few moves, right? So what day, you know, if I'm starting to learn to breakdance, what day do I go from, you know, learning to being whatever? Or how long do I have to play the piano before I'm a pianist, right?
Well, that's zero to master in 60 days.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've read 10 articles on KNP. Yeah, no, I'm good.
But if you pick up a camera and you take a picture, you are a photographer.
Yeah, yeah, see, I would disagree that with way, that, so. Too. But, yeah.
You got to add the word pro in there if you can actually sell your work.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a whole nother. Been there, done that. Nice, not pretty. So the TNG group, you're seeing that it's less emphasis on the power exchange and more on the individual fetishes?
No, power exchange is there, but it's like for events or stuff. Like, oh, check it out. In front of other people, I'm going to ask him to use the bathroom, or do you know what I mean? Or I'm going to tell him what drink I want, and then, you know, he decides whether or not I can get that. You'll see some of that some of the time, but for the most part, yeah, no, it is individual fetishes. I would say for every 20 people at a munch, there are, you know, 3 people actively pursuing some sort of DS, and the rest consider themselves S or D types, but that usually means I like to give or I like to receive.
Interesting, because south of the line, in the older generation, we see a heavy focus on the relationship, don't we, Woody?
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, it's just phenomenal. The talk of your fetishes are pushed back to the second or third month of the relationship.
It's like, oh, by the way, what do you like to do, you know?
Yeah.
So it comes along very secondary.
That has to do with, like, courtship in not just in the DS, you know, kinky crowd, but, like, courtship for people, young people today. It used to be, back in the old days, courtship was, like, a friend introduces you, you know, have an attraction to each other. Maybe you ask her out on a date, you get dinner together, then you go steady, then, you know, after years you get married. And courtship in modern culture today is FetLife or OkCupid message, then texting, then sex, then you never see each other again.
Wow. Which is interesting. One of my harem is a 24-year-old, and she had never been on a date until I took her to dinner one night. And she said in her group, you just didn't go on dates.
They call it hooking up.
It's called Netflix and chill.
Netflix and chill. Okay.
Netflix and chill, yeah. The last thing you need, the problem with TNG now also is the last thing you can get. If you want play, the last thing you can do is pre-negotiate. The one thing I need to do, especially even if I message somebody on FetLife, is I have to have a conversation that I can have in church. Talk to her about her life, her, you know, hobbies, whether or not she's going to school, whether or not she works, all that stuff. But if I actually want to play with her, especially if she's under 30, I have to never mention her kinks at all. Because for some reason, they're still like, then you just become some guy who's, you know, fapping on the other side of the internet. But then when you meet them in person, again, it's let's watch movies or whatever. And then out of nowhere, you're supposed to start playing. And for the most part in my, like, for the first 2 years, that's what I did. And then, like, after you get, you know, your first little issues with that, you realize, shit, my reputation is, you know, going down the tube. So I got to start pre-negotiating.
Yeah. How do you decide on when you make that jump from Netflix to bondage?
I would start massaging. That's pretty much it.
And you listen for the encouragement or not, right? And hope for she's vocal.
Yeah, basically that's it. You start massaging them and whatever, and then regardless of all that, and then you're like, oh my God, check this out. This is the thing that a consent was understood. You know, it used to be no means no. So if you don't get the no, you have that, right? Now we're under the yes means yes model. Everybody needs to know what they're about to do before they do it and consent to it enthusiastically, right? But again, I grew up with no means no. You know, you got a kiss by going for a kiss. And if she didn't move her head away and she kissed you back, then that was your kiss. So the last thing I did my first couple of years in kink was ever mention kink. I would look at her fetish list and then, okay, if it matched mine, whatever. Now I would just never talk to her about it.
It's a new world, Beast.
You don't realize how absurd that sounds when you say it out loud.
I know it is.
Wow.
But everything he says, I can identify with in this new dynamic.
You're right. And but just hearing it spoken, it's like,
if you connected with a person and went to a private place, you expected the possibility of some missteps and they weren't criminal behavior.
Yeah.
Now, if you make those missteps, it's instantly a criminal behavior. So if your date kissed you and you didn't want kissed, you stopped it, and that was the end of it. Now they're in the police department in a couple of hours, and you got charges.
Yeah, no, you've sexually assaulted them.
Yeah.
I think this is an area where actually being socially awkward my whole life, it's given me an advantage in kink, because when I first joined FetLife 5-6 years ago, and when I met my wife, especially on FetLife, my profile said that I'm a dominant, this is what kind of dominant I am, and this is exactly what I'm looking for. I have no game whatsoever. I'm a very straightforward, pragmatic, this is what I want, this is what I want from you, and this is what we're going to do kind of person. And that works out incredibly well for me.
That's yeah, how I met my, it certainly, how I met my wife. It certainly
she's
worked.
Sitting next to me in a cage right now.
Yeah.
In the cage?
Yeah, here, if you can see.
Yeah, she should say yes.
And she looks totally happy.
My girlfriend is sitting here. Right by the.
Hi.
Hi. Do you think these are shifts because of the new social media? I mean, let's face it, FetLife is the alternative social media in the world.
Yeah, no, it's the Facebook for kinksters, absolutely.
I think it is the alternative social media for everything now.
Is it really that big?
The number of profiles are up around 5 million.
And Good Lord.
And remember, it's not in all countries yet, because a lot of countries just ban this sort of thing outright.
Yours is next.
No kidding.
No, the Donald will not ban kink.
No, he'll just buy it and then, like, put ads up on it. You'll see for Trump University and Trump Steaks.
Now, Mr. Cruz, yes, he would ban it.
Yes, he would.
But Mr. Trump, Wooten, and Bernie and Hillary, of course, could care less. I keep on looking for Hillary's profile.
What I've been a little worried about is not so much a person banning kink. It's the Trans-Pacific Partnership and net neutrality laws that are changing right now and how that's going to affect websites like FetLife.
Well, we've already seen Facebook run afoul in India with their plans. So that net neutrality is a biter potentially, but I don't know that it should negatively impact Fed as long as John doesn't decide to up his game somehow.
Well, John is Canadian.
I'm not sure what you call John. We have we've had him on the show. Yeah, it's based out of Vancouver, but he's a very interesting man.
Yeah, he's from the east, living in the west, north of the border. He's a Canadian.
Yeah, he's a Canuck.
He's a Canuck. Okay.
Yeah, but we were talking about picking people up, right?
Always a favorite topic of mine.
The thing that I've noticed is a lot of people can do things that they cannot say, especially if there's some sort of shame attached to it. The thing is, if you're a D-type, there's not as much shame, especially not from guys. No guy is going to be like, don't tell anyone you sucked my dick last night. Do you know what I mean? But you know what I mean? It's going to be very rare
tell
to
everybody.
Hear that from men.
Uh-huh.
Right? But from women, there's shame attached to it. So the thing is, they will have a lot of kinks that, because the worst thing they were told by their mothers that a girl could possibly be growing up is sexually active, is a slut, is a whore, is somebody who doesn't think that sex is one thing you do with one person one way. You know what I mean? So I find if you picked up, that's the problem with kink and pickup culture is you can't pre-negotiate. I would have got only 10% of them if I actually had to say everything I wanted to do before I met them.
And as the folks get older, slut is a badge of honor.
Yeah.
Now, tell me, does Canada do any better with sex education for teenagers than the United States does? We don't do anything.
We don't have Liberty University, if that's what you're asking.
Liberty?
Sorry, we don't know that.
What is that?
Jerry Falwell School in Lynchburg.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, we don't have – no. The thing is, like, yeah, we don't have much religion-based, like, sex.
No, I talk about sex education, period. Do you do sex education? We don't do it in the United States.
Oh, yeah, we do a lot of it.
We just – in the States, the only thing we talk about is the biological mechanics of the sperm and the egg, and that's it.
Yeah, you talk about plumbing.
We leave all of the interpersonal relationship stuff out and all of the pleasure aspects. It's all about the plumbing.
You know what I remember from sex education in the United States? And I was in – freshman year of high school, so this is 17 years ago. I remember this incredibly racist element to it. And maybe it was just my teacher. I'm not saying this is the way it is in all of the states, but my teacher went into the statistics of which part of town that I lived in, which is very culturally segregated. I grew up in the Hispanic part of town. Which part of town had the highest teen pregnancy rate? And he didn't say it in those exact words, but that's what my teacher was saying. They were going up, well, this part of town has much higher teen pregnancy rates than this part of town.
Real subtle.
That might have to do with them being Mexican. It might have said, well, you know, these people won't have abortions or, you know what I mean? These people won't take birth control because they're Catholic.
Yes, and they totally missed what could have been the real discussion about sexual attitudes. Because we're not worried about the attitudes. We're just worried about everybody knows how to make babies and less about not making babies.
And then run the statistics.
Canada is no better, huh?
No, it's better. It's way better. The good thing about it, too, is we have like hassle-free clinics. We have Teen Health Center, and there's a third one. And basically, this is places that kids can go, decisions for themselves that like their parents have. Like, let's say if you have Muslim parents, you know, and you're afraid of being like honor killed or something, if you can give a good enough reason, you can, you know, deal with your own things yourself. And it's amazing. Same with it if for kids that come out as gay or transgendered, we have the Pink Triangle schools here in Toronto, where if they want, because there's an argument on both sides of this of whether or not these things should exist, but if they want, they can go to their own school. And it's not saying that, you know, whatever, but if you feel it's too dangerous for you to come out where you are, especially if you come out and you used to have a specific friend group that might be offended by who you've become or were you admitting who you really are. It's really good here. It's really, really good for that.
That's really forward thinking.
Yeah, very cool.
Yes, y'all are getting it much, much closer to the right north of the border than we are down here in the south. In our state, we have the General Assembly is one of their hot topics this year is should schools require students to use the restroom of their gender on their birth certificate instead of the gender that they identify with?
See, I don't know if that was an issue. Like, I don't even here. I don't know if this is. There's a lot of clubs I noticed, like when I used to go clubbing, just like I stopped a year ago, but that had unisex bathrooms. But I mean, even then, like, I'm thinking, what would be the major problem? Because, like, if
what's
I was.
What's the horrible thing that would happen?
No, but even like I'm saying for both sides, why does either side care? If I'm, you know, transgendered, a bathroom is a bathroom. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just I don't understand what would be like why it would be so important to me. But then I guess it's the same as, well, why won't you then sit on the back of the bus, right? They don't want to be segregated.
Well, I think the sitting on the back of the bus was segregation, certainly, but it was a symbol for a larger segregation problem. And hopefully we're not segregating, but I fear we are. against the transgender in the state.
We definitely are, yeah.
The thing I don't understand is they say you're the gender that you tell them. So if I show up there and just, they can't argue because it would be politically incorrect if I said, no, I'm a girl. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can dress like this. I can look exactly like this. I can have facial hair. I can make no attempt to look or act feminine because they can't define that for me. So then therefore I could just go in. And I wonder in high school, and I'm not trying to say I'm conservative here, but if I was in grade 10 right now and I said, you know what, coach, I feel like a woman today. Can I shower with the girls? Would he let me?
That's an interesting angle. I don't think it's going to play well.
That's where we become over legalistic and over legislative is we can't trust people to properly use the power they have, because that boy, let's face it, the boy odds are in that scenario is just wanting to get naked with the girls. It isn't anything about his inner identity. It's all about what's between his legs.
No, but that was my point. The solution is to get rid of gender bathrooms completely. As I was saying, the same solution for gay marriage. They should have just gotten rid of marriage in the government. But they should have done this. If you want to have a marriage, you know, the name, you know, have a marriage. Have your ceremony and then stay with that person.
Yeah,
and
remove government from the equation.
Put them on your insurance. And if you want them in your will, put them on your will. And you want them to visit you in the hospital, put them on your list. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean, and I'm totally in agreement.
If you want to separate, like if you're thinking, okay, I'm kind of a man and I'm kind of a woman and I'm transgendered and I'm whatever. If there's more than one gender, let's just have one bathroom.
Works for me.
You know what I mean? Let's have one shower too. People think that that's insane. But I mean, until you actually do it. When I'm at swingers clubs, you expect it to be like the Roman baths, right? Everybody's, you know, thinking about whatever. But then when you get there, it's all about like, you know, people talk about World of Warcraft and, you know, their taxes. Who are you filing with? Whatever, right?
If I was at a munch or a swingers club and people started talking about World of Warcraft, I would get up and walk right out.
Oh, you haven't.
I've seen it. You think that people know when they're naked after having sex is like the. No, they're not rock stars, right? These are normal people. We are all normal people. And I think if we showered together, everybody would think, oh, my God, chaos, anarchy. But I don't think anything would happen.
I think this you're right. I think it would wash out, pardon the pun, in a couple of years and get normalized and not be an issue anymore.
And I, you know, welcome to Europe. These are human issues, right? They're not male issues or female issues. They're human issues. And people don't see it that way. Everyone sees these male issues and these female issues. And really, we have societal and human issues, and we're all human beings, and we should really get a lot more comfortable with each other than we are.
Well, I have a question about male issues and female issues. Because as we say, gender is, you know, irrelevant. I have a question. My ex-girlfriend, right? We were, you know, hanging out one night. We went to a bar. We got drunk. We went home, and she kept trying to get me to have sex. And I kept saying no, and she kept saying, come on, come on, come on. And she started pulling out my clothes and whatever. Just to shut her up, I did it. If it was the other way around, do you know what I mean?
Yes, I know exactly what you mean.
And I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about in reality.
Yeah, but in the reality, you walk into make a complaint that you were harassed into sex, and you're going to be laughed out of the precinct.
You know, it wasn't even that long ago that the courts and the government decided that a man could even be raped. Right? I mean, that's insane. It's ridiculous.
No, I'm not talking about rape. I'm just saying even I think that's different. Because this is the deal. This is the difference. I'm obviously not afraid of her. Do you know what I mean? She's 105 pounds. If I wanted to shut her up, I could have just shut her up and left.
But we're talking about human issues. It's not just about the physical.
There are male and female issues, because even I would see that as, yeah.
I don't know. It's about we try to make people happy. It's not always about physical force. It's about the psychological.
Yeah,
I completely
manipulation,
agree.
Blackmail, emotional blackmail, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's all about the psychology, and that I think most psychologists would say the psychological power is far greater than the physical power.
Okay, well, I have a question for you. Do you feel the exact same way when you okay? There's implied consent when you have a couple, right? You're already in a relationship. You have some sort of implied consent. If the guy is like, come on, come on, we're leaving, we're leaving, we're leaving, and he just like pulls her, and then eventually he like just forces her, right? But then if you see the girl do it, like, you know, she has something it's really important to do. You know what I mean? She has to pick up, you know, someone she's babysitting or whatever. And then eventually she just, like, drags, you know, and then eventually, oh, okay, fine. Do you feel exactly the same way in both situations?
Exactly the same way for me.
Yeah, for me too, exactly the same way.
Yeah, but we're not everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are, no, we were definitely not a typical cross-section of society as a whole.
That's my problem. I don't feel the same way about it.
You know, that's it's okay. Interesting.
That's okay, yes, so totally.
As kinksters, you know, sometimes we wear the name pervert. You know, that's like some people wearing the name slut. Is that a negative thing or a positive thing? And it's just like slut. Some people wear it as a badge of honor. Some people wear pervert as a badge of honor. But the
That's pervert, one of my favorite terms of endearment.
The pervert that we're talking about here in this community is not the drooling guy down on the corner that's trying to get a look up somebody's skirt in a bathroom. There's a huge difference.
Yeah, but yeah. Woody, I have found myself in the last year or two self-identifying as pervert a whole lot less out of a desire to be more politically correct.
Ooh.
Which is horrible.
Who are you?
It's a horrible admission.
Oh, you're giving in.
Now it could have been. It could have been purely has a strategy to get more pussy.
How's that working for you?
Got a 24-year-old.
Well, you see what they were talking about earlier. You had to get down to this egalitarian thing that they were talking about.
And so she replaced the 22-year-old from last year.
Oh, so you're getting them older now.
She was 23 when we started. So,
you know what's awesome? The kink community has actually made me look forward to aging. Because before I thought, oh my God, I peaked at 21. And I'm thinking now, I can't wait to be 40 so I can be old enough to have sex with teenage girls again.
You actually have to do that, yes. Yes.
That is so spot on. If you pay attention to what's going on in that life, it's so spot on.
I will tell you a secret. I'm turning 65 years old in another couple months, and I still get more ass than a toilet seat.
And gentlemen, my primary partner is 62, 10 years older than I am. So I don't discriminate based on age, but there is something about a 24-year-old. Their energy is just different.
It is a very different energy. And the thing is, why can't you have chocolate and vanilla? Strawberry.
The creepiest guy I've
with
ever met.
Sprinkles and strawberries and right. Candy on top, right?
Exactly.
And lollipops.
The creepiest guy I've ever met, and he wasn't creepy because of this statement, but kind of the other things he did. I remember one time he was getting out of a cab and like some girls said, you know, goodbye, whatever, right? And he was about my age and the girls were, you know, 18 or 19. And before coming inside, he's like, Yasin, man, you are only as old as the women you feel.
The women you feel.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I am a young man.
You wear the pervert title loud and proud, huh?
I've worn it for a number of years, but I don't throw it in the face of some people because they will judge me as the negative kind of pervert.
Yeah, because that particular word does have, in my mind, some negative connotations to the vanillas, and to us, it's just, you know, a literal term, I suppose, for what we are. But it's definitely the word that I remember growing up. You know, if someone's a pervert, then they're a sexual deviant.
It's a loaded word.
Yeah.
I find it sounds non-consensual.
Exactly.
It does. Exactly. And if you go back to the kind of the roots of it, it is non-consensual.
If you say he perverted something, do you know what I mean? Even not if you take out the sexual aspect.
Yeah.
Like a perversion of the truth.
I pervert a lot of things for pleasant uses. Gentlemen, let me ask you a question about women. We have seen a whole new breed of women out there, and they're usually in their early 20s, are much more bold about their sexuality, and they're embracing darker and darker aspects. What do you think?
At younger ages.
I can think of one up in Boston, 22, 20, 23.
Corrupted Christy?
I wasn't going to mention any names, but you did find her, yes. Corrupted Christy, and she is definitely an edgewalker.
Manic knows everybody on FetLife. He's friends with every single person on FetLife.
And she is an example of a new breed of woman. Do you think this heralds in a new age, or is she an anomaly?
No, I think it's because it's available. Before, this was the deal. It was easier to be monogamous because the only time you were in a crowd was when you were in a crowd. Now, because of the internet, you're always in a crowd. Do you know what I mean? You can feel extremely social and never leave your house. And because of that and porn, I think you're going to meet a lot of girls that were like exposed to something really, really young. Because you got to think from evolution, our brains don't know that computer screens aren't real. Do you know what I mean? Our brains don't know that. So when we see something on a screen or we see someone on a screen, right, we see that as a person. We see that as an actual person. So if they just see, like, you know, if by the time you become 18, you've already seen, you know, 1,000 hours worth of porn, well, you just think that's regular life. Your brain has been tricked into thinking, you know, this is happening all the time. And it is. It is happening all the time everywhere, right? It normalizes that.
What does that do to the future of our lifestyle if this becomes the norm?
Well, the pendulum is going to swing, right? The thing about Corrupted Christy is I think a lot of sex or a lot of kink is taboo because it wasn't allowed. So that's why you'll see like a lot of girls will take off insulting names or humiliating names or whatever. It's because you have to feel like on some level you shouldn't want this or you wouldn't whatever. But I think when it doesn't become as... you know, it doesn't become as taboo anymore. People won't go to such extremes to shock people. It's kind of like, you know, when weed first becomes legal, people are stand outside the police station, you know what I mean, with a blunt and, you know, blow it into the police station and all that. Like, check it out, I'm smoking weed, aha, fuck you, cop. But then, you know, after about a few months of it being legal and when cops are like, ignoring you, eventually you won't be, you know, throwing it in their faces anymore.
Got to think of something new.
My personal opinion about the topic at hand is that I think people should just embrace their kinks as much as possible. I believe the statistic that 50% of the world is kinky. Personally, I think that kink is something that's just a part of the human experience. And when you discover it, there's no going back. I think every kinky person would agree with that once you discover kink, that's who you are. That's part of your identity now, and you know, you're never going to become vanilla again. So I kind of envision a world where I could put my wife on a leash and walk her down the street, and it's just not a big deal. And I want to see that happen. So when I see people is really embracing their kinks and really, you know, being loud and proud about it at any age, I think it's a great thing. I mean, not at an age when it's inappropriate and illegal, but for consenting adults, I think that embracing kink is just a wonderful thing, and it's part of a movement into a more conscious human experience.
Very well expressed and put. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Corrupted Christy, this is a shout out. We think what you do is wonderful and lovely, and we're not condemning or dooming you. Keep it up, girl.
On that note, it has been a very lively show tonight.
Oh, yes.
And I want to thank Manic Bunk and Johnny Thrash for joining us from Canada. Johnny, you got some other friends that you're bringing along here in a few weeks.
Yeah, I do. So our next show that we're going to record, Woody, is going to be with Master James from Sydney, Australia. And he's a really cool dude, one of my favorite people on FetLife, and one of the first people that I reached out to for advice about DS relationships. He's got a lot of really, really good writings on FetLife.
And definitely very controversial at times.
Absolutely, and he's not ashamed of it. He's not someone who's out there to never offend anybody. And I love that about him. I really can't wait to do the interview.
All right, guys. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you all soon.
All right. Thanks for having us.
See you, Woody.
You have been listening to episode 115 of the Kinky Cast. For more information about this show, go to kinkycast.com. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of Woody, the Beast, and all our kinky crew, I'm Max. See you next week when we bring you the amazing Lady D.